Welcome. You're listening to the Grow Ortho Podcast, presented by HIP. This podcast is dedicated to orthodontists who want to stand strong in their market and be leaders in their community. Now, on to today's show. Me and Harrison are going to talk about impact. So Harrison, I'll let you kick it off. Take it away.
Question. Before we dive in here, I want to make sure that we're all happy and comfortable, but not too comfortable. So my question is, as we dive into this, is it okay if I and Luke are very direct and candid in this piece? Is that okay with you guys? Give me a one in the chat real quick if you're okay with this. 1-1-1-1-1 if we're okay with this. 1-1-1. And if you're not okay with this, press 2. 1-1-1. Okay. So we have permission. So Sarah, no writing me up, no firing me later. We have documented permission. Approval. We're talking about unlocking full potential right now, but I want to preface this by saying that we're not just talking about unlocking your full potential in how you serve a partner or how you communicate with a team member or how we go about growing the business. This very much relates to your own personal life as well. Whether that's in your marriage, in your family, in your kids, in your friends, I really do believe that how you do something is how you do anything. And so if we're just going through the motions sometimes at work, and that's okay, we're all guilty of it. But do you think that that type of mindset and that type of attitude could possibly bleed into your personal life as well and not given your full potential there? So my question for you guys is, does anybody here, and be honest, but does anybody here feel in your bones, in your gut, that you have bigger potential, more potential, and feel like you can be greater than you are today? Show of hands or give me a one in the chat if you feel this way. And be honest with yourself. And so I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy. His name is Steve Jobs. If you don't know who he is, Google him real quick. You guys are probably using some of his technology today. And he says, the only way to do great work is to love what you do. Now, I want to comment on that because it can come off a little cheesy, right? That doesn't mean that you have to love every single aspect of what you do. But if we're looking 30,000 foot up and really taking inventory here, you got to be passionate about what you do, whether that's passion about orthodontics, whether that's passion about Facebook ads, whether that's passion about, I don't know, Nathan writing and talking in computer language all day, robot language, you know, I don't know, but you have to be passionate about that. But where does it really start? I really think it starts with taking a real look at yourself and having self-awareness to really understand what are you good at, what are your strengths, and what are your weaknesses, and being honest with yourself, but also being honest publicly with your team members. I think anybody here that's worked here for at least a few months, everybody knows what Harrison's really bad at. Real quick, shout out. What is Harrison terrible at?
Technology.
Anything that involves typing on a keyboard. I remember when I first met Carrie and we started talking about like ads and stuff, her little joke was, I can see it coming across Harrison's eyeballs right now. His brain is going beep, beep, boop, bop, beep. He has no idea what's going on. And while this is silly, so I think we also know, what is Harrison really good at? What can we pass to Harrison that we know is probably going to get done very well? Connecting with people, navigating tough conversations, but that starts with my self-awareness, right? I never told anybody, hey, pass me spreadsheet work or pass me ClickUp stuff, right? I said, do not give me this stuff. I'll blow up the company, right? But that comes with self-awareness and being honest with yourself. And so how do we get better? It comes down to continuous learning. Most of you know I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins, and Tony Robbins has an acronym called CANI. And it stands for constant and never ending improvement. Maybe you guys have heard of this guy, Abraham Lincoln. Hopefully you guys know who he is. He said, if I was going to spend the time to chop down a tree, I'd spend 4 hours sharpening the axe and 1 hour actually chopping down the tree. A thought for you guys to ponder on is, where are you spending your time right now? Because that 8 to 5 that we work in work hours, that 8 to 5 is not when we're sharpening the axe. The 8 to 5 is when we're hacking away at the tree. We just have a hard day, tough partners. The axe is going to be dull by 5 p.m. If we want to maximize our full potential, it's not about the focus time of 8 to 5. It's what are you doing on your own time before work, after work, to sharpen the axe? And you can read the books and have the conversations and listen to the podcasts. Ideas are worthless if we don't actually put it to action. Because I see this all the time. I have yet to meet somebody that says, I do not want to maximize my full potential. I do not want to grow. I do not want to get better. There's probably people out there that say that. They surely don't live in my circle. But what happens is, when it's time to put ink to paper, when it's time to put rubber to the road, and it's like, oh, so I do have to wake up an hour earlier. I do have to read some books after work. What do we say? Oh, well, it was a hard day. I'll get to it tomorrow. Nick, you stayed at my house this weekend watching Bubba. What's the password to my Wi-Fi?
Don't be average.
Whoa.
It's okay. Something that I live by. I'm allergic to mediocrity. Is even my Wi-Fi password, don't be average.
How do you step up your game? And really, this is your inner game. I've said this on a couple calls, so some of you may have heard it, but there's multiple people who have said this. I think John Maxwell was the first time I heard it. I think Mike Tyson, I heard it a week ago listening to one of his videos, and they talk about how there's two sides to every single person. Doesn't mean we're bipolar. But maybe you can relate with this, where the alarm clock goes off at 5 a.m. You got to get up and you say, I'm not going to go work out or go on this run or do whatever it was. I'm just going to sleep in, snooze, or alarm clock off. I've done it. Matt Harrison, I think we've all done it in the past year, you know, a handful of times. But if we're looking at averages, it's 5%, 95% of the time we jump up. John Maxwell says, hey, there's always that voice on my shoulder telling me, you don't need to write another book. You already have like 50 bestsellers. You know, why write another book? And then we've probably heard this phrase. It's a popular marketable phrase, but wake up warrior. We have to wake up that warrior inside of us. And it's a decision just about at every waking moment. I don't want to take this call. I'll get Harrison to take it, even though they said they wanted to talk to Luke. Whatever it is, you're always going to have that. And it's just about averages and choosing, no, I am going to get up. I am going to get moving. I am going to take that call. And then once you're in it, it goes back to Steve Jobs, loving what you do. When I'm on a call leading a partner, and sometimes the most difficult conversations are the most rewarding, I'm like, man, there's just an energy rushing. And it's like, this is why I started HIP. You know, if we go all the way back to the beginning, Justin and I were just passionate about helping people. We had no idea what we were doing, but we were listening to people and saying, hey, we can help them. We're going to figure it out. We're going to come alongside of them and partner with them. And that's what we built off of. Your biggest opponent is the one in the mirror. That's the person holding you back. It's not anybody else. It starts with you and your inner game. And so mindset, you've got to believe you can improve. If you are not going to believe it, there's going to be very few people who will come alongside of you and believe it. The world is a, as you guys know, and as I get older, it's a difficult, trying environment, testing environment. You're going to get knocked down. If you don't believe you can do it, it's probably not going to happen. Discipline, like Mike Tyson says, it's doing what you hate to do sometimes, but doing it like you love it. Again, if you look at somebody like Mike Tyson, he probably didn't like eating steak and eggs for, you know, 10 years every single meal. He probably didn't like waking up at 3 a.m. and running every single day. But guess what? When he stepped in the ring and got the knockout, he loved what he did. To be that champion, you have to have discipline. Adaptability. We have to be ready to pivot. We see this in practical situations where, you know, and we just heard a lot of wins, but there's a lot of times where there's not a win. And maybe cost per lead is, you know, 5 times too high, or the partner says, hey, HIP is not creative. I'm lacking creativity, or whatever it is. And this goes back to our service values of always trying to improve. We got to be ready to pivot. You know, if there's a change that needs to happen, not only in our personal life, but at HIP, we got to be ready to do that. There's processes to follow, there's systems, that's great. But when the process is not serving the partner, when the process is not serving HIP, we got to change the process.
Just to piggyback one thought off that, Luke, you know, guys, especially if you're partner facing, you know, obviously we've got our very easygoing partners that are always pleasant to talk to, and that's easy, right? But we've got some people with big egos. We got some people that can be abrasive. We've got some people that think they know everything. And if you're in a partner facing role, like really at the end of the day, what's the job here is to be able to influence that person to have a new perspective. Something that I could never understand is if we're speaking to a very educated, high-level individual, how in the bananas are we going to influence that individual if you can't influence yourself to make the needed changes? Who's the easiest person to influence? It's the one that you have 100% control of. And if I can't spend the time in myself, the energy in myself, the changes in myself, how the heck am I going to do that to a 60-year-old doctor that's thought his you-know-what doesn't stink for 30 years of his life? This is where the chink in the chain happens. So a great thing here is you know, being challenged. Honest, candid feedback here, guys. Who loves and thrives on being challenged? Maybe getting very candid feedback. Direct criticism, as Luke would say, kicking my teeth in a little bit. Who enjoys that? Honestly, nobody. Well, this would be the first step is we probably want to have a change in mindset. Now, in the moment, it's not always pleasant. I'll give you an example. This was, I think, Luke, last month. I had my one-on-one with Luke. Now, to preface this, Luke hadn't put a one-on-one on my calendar in months. And a one-on-one hits my calendar. And I said, uh-oh, wonder where this is going to go. So time for the one-on-one. I go into Luke's office. I said, hey, we just going to meet in here, meet in the conference room. And he goes, no, Harrison, we're going to go ahead and meet in the media room. Now, if anybody's ever been to the HIP office, the media room is dark. It's soundproof. It's quite dark and quiet. And my heart started beating about 400 miles an hour. I said, is this it? Is this the day? Is my time at HIP? Like, is this it? And I remember we sit down at the table and Luke very slowly leans across the table, crosses his arm, crosses his hands. And he goes, Harrison, this one's going to be a doozy, buddy. And in the moment, I was like, well, uh-oh, here it goes. And here I am thinking, you know, Harrison's on fire. I'm going to have the biggest year of my life. We're crushing it. And reality smacked me in the face. And although it was a very tough conversation, and Luke and I have had countless tough conversations, I always come out better from the side of it. And so, you know, Sarah, you and I were talking in Slack the other day, like, why do I ask people, like, have you ever played sports before? And I think it comes down to if you really thrived in competitive sports, you wouldn't have done that if you weren't good at taking criticism from the coach, right? And so challenges are what make life interesting, right? Overcoming them is what makes life meaningful. We can't grow when we're comfortable. We like being comfortable. I like being comfortable. I asked Luke, you know, with this weekend, can I still go play some golf? You know, that's a whole different conversation. When are we comfy? We're sitting on the couch. We got a blanket on us. We're eating, you know, pizza that got delivered to our front door. It feels good in the moment. But when we look back in 6 months, when we look back in a year and we're not where we want to be, are we looking at the moments where we were comfortable that put us in that place? Or are we looking at those tough moments where we had to have a reality check to figure out the next step? And that just comes down to a mindset and a perspective of how do you take feedback? How do you take criticism? Do you see the silver lining that, man, this could be a moment of tremendous growth? And we all have things to work on, you know, from a teamwork perspective, guys. I'm sure most people in this call have probably gotten a message from me in Slack that maybe wasn't written the best or spoken the best. And for that, I apologize, right? But if you're partner facing, it's tough sometimes, right? You're on a call and they're whining and griming and this person did that and this never got done. And It's not upholding our service values and we can react emotionally. I think that's part of the human experience. But how do you, on the other end, how do you deal with that? You know, years ago, I always thought Luke like just enjoyed kicking my teeth in, but no, that's not the case. Although he possibly might, I'm not sure. I'm just kidding. Right. But when we look at the other side and what can happen, tremendous things can happen. We don't grow when we're comfortable. We grow when we're confronted with adversity.
And even to go back to the story you tell when you speak on stage, your dad came down after hearing you on a sales call and said, son, that was terrible. Yeah. It's probably a hard thing to hear from your dad.
It's one of those moments I'll always remember. I was like 19, 20 years old, like just getting into sales, finally getting deals done. I thought I was like God's gift to phone selling at this point. Knocked a deal down, sold it. My dad walks downstairs and he goes, son, what in the F was that? I was like, what do you mean, dad? Like, close the deal. And he's like, dude, that was awful. And if you're going to make a career out of this, you've got to get better. Cause as an educated adult, I would never buy anything from you with that attitude.
Challenge made you grow.
Hey, if you're an orthodontist listening to this podcast and wondering, how does this work for my practice? I actually have some ideas, but I also have some questions. Go ahead and click below in the description, book a discovery call with one of our practice advisors who can find out exactly where your practice is at now, where you want to be, and then create that bridge to get you there faster and easier. So if that interests you, go ahead and click that link in the description. Thanks so much for watching or listening to the Grow Ortho podcast.
Why is resilience important? Vince Lombardi, great coach. Pretty sure he coached the Packers for a long stint. It's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up. I don't know if this is his quote or he just said it because this has been said many times, but you know, me and Harrison were talking about this presentation and something that came to mind for me personally, there's been very few phone calls that I can remember like years back. And one of the ones I remember was in 2019. I was actually at an event in Nashville, Sarah, for Traffic and Funnels. And I got a text and I made a phone call back to the person and it was Dr. Carter Thomas. And many of you know that, you know, it didn't go well the first time around. And I mean, it was top three worst phone calls, if not the worst that I've ever had in HIP. Everything that was said that could be a dig or an insult for the most part was said. You know, it was just one of those moments where you could just throw in the towel, you know, and I've seen people throw in the towel who they just can't take it anymore. Maybe you guys can relate, whether it be a family member or a friend or, you know, an old company that imploded, whatever. I think it's important to go back to your why and to go back to knowing what you're capable of, even though you may have failed. Right. And there was maybe a lot of things we could have done better. There was certainly a lot of things that a lot of wrong decisions he had made as well, and things that he was not aware of. I really think it put us on a path, a faster path, with bouncing back and figuring out, obviously, you know, like I said, there's some things we could have done a lot better, but that was also a moment in time where we were realizing, you know, why are some of these practices just putting up such massive numbers? And the kind of the majority now is starting to say, hey, why isn't this happening in my practice? And then 2020 came around the following year and we bolstered up our framework to have Practice Beacon, to have coaching, to have curriculum, all these things. Well, you guys know, you know, if we talk about the long game, who would have guessed that Dr. Carter Thomas would have come back years later, right? And is one of the biggest success stories that we have ever had. Over a weekend, he went from producing, you know, being on pace to produce 4.5 million to over 10 million and just this explosive growth. He's completely changed. His mindset's totally different. I would hope my mindset is completely different than 2019. And so my whole point in this long story is you got to have resilience. What if I was just like, you know what? I can't take this. There's partners who are not winning. Our name's getting dragged through the mud. I'm done. Versus, hey, I got to go back to my why. I got to go back to my principles. I know we're capable of way better. How do we just put one step in front of the other? And so you got to bounce back. You got to think long game. You know, Matt, working out, you know, you've made huge strides, and it's the long game. Like, we've been working out with Grenade, what, going on 2 years? You know, yeah. It's always the long game. And for that to happen, you have to have a mental toughness. You know, it's not easy to grow, and it's not easy to bounce back. And life is always going to knock you down, always, right? But can you get back up? And that is being resilient. I think we have to be really honest with ourselves. We can be delusional, and we can tell ourselves lies, because we don't actually want to be honest and take inventory. Because if we're honest, then we have to face it. Then we have to try and overcome it, work on it, and grow. And sometimes we just don't want to do that. The unexamined life is not worth living. We constantly, I don't know about you guys, but I'm constantly thinking, how can I get better? How can I improve? Where did I fail? I mean, I've gotten up on stage in front of people and failed. Many people would never speak again publicly, you know, but then I talk to other people who are some of the most powerful, best public speakers in the world. And they're like, hey, same thing happened to me. I talked to a pastor who I think is, you know, one of the best public speakers. And he said, hey, I had to call and cancel an event because I was so sick from thinking about getting up in front of people that I couldn't leave my house. I was puking. It was terrible. And so you have to be honest with yourself and say, here's where I'm at, but here's where I want to be. And how am I going to get there? Certainly, there's some things that maybe we should just remove from our list and not be. Like, I am never going to be a mathematician. I am never going to be amazing at spreadsheets and software. But with the things that I know that I could be good at, or I know my purpose lies within, I have to be honest with myself. I have to have self-reflection. I have to get feedback from other people. Hey, Luke, that wasn't really good. I would change this. And be careful of who you're taking feedback from, because if it's not somebody who's on higher ground or accomplished, you could be listening to the wrong feedback, and then adjust. How do you make changes? How do you improve?
One thought is the self-reflection part. And again, I'm kind of challenging you to take some internal perspective here. So think about a day that maybe you had just an awful day at work. Maybe you made a bunch of mistakes. Maybe the partner freaked out on you. Maybe another team member got upset with you, et cetera. My question on self-reflection is, okay, we have this bad day. We made a mistake. Somebody got annoyed or pissed off. What do you do at that moment? 5 o'clock hits. What do you do? 5 o'clock hits, I sit on the couch, have a glass of wine, and zone out on Netflix and sweep it under the rug and hope and pray tomorrow's a better one. Or do you take a little bit of time and think back from that and reflect on that? What did I really do wrong? Am I taking this personally, or did I make a mistake? What can I learn from this? How can I be better? Or again, do we, 5 o'clock hits, that was an awful day. We'll hope tomorrow's better. I can tell you that when I've had my difficult conversations with Luke, it's something that lingers in my brain space for at least a week at a time, thinking about, well, what really led up to this? It's not what I did yesterday. It's not what I did the day before. It was a culmination of things that led up to this. And I kind of take it personally and really think, well, how can I get better about this? So that's where my thoughts come in from. Reflections. What do you do with that challenging moment?
I had a call with Dr. Farina this morning, and he's like, hey, we love you guys. I tout you guys. I just touted you guys at Orthopreneurs, but I really need the creative, right? It's hip creative. I really need the creative here. And we've heard that many times. He said it respectfully. Some people have not. So I appreciate, you know, him being a fan and being respectful, but you know, I see things come through of like, hey, can I change my rep because somebody didn't respond to me and I've lost confidence? And it's like, hey, that goes all the way back to our DNA, you know? And I know we're not going to be perfect. And we talk about all the wins, but if we're taking inventory of hip, you know, there's issues, and there always will be, but I think we can be better. In fact, I know that we can be better. And to be the company that we want to be, we want to double in size. We have to get better as a team, you know, and it comes down to taking inventory. Do we just glaze over, or, hey, I can't really focus on this or think about this because it's going to get me down? Or, hey, I need to kind of sit with this, like Harrison's saying, and reflect. And how am I going to put things in place to not make the same mistake, right? How can I reflect and live out the service values and the DNA? And, you know, so some of you guys may have seen me and Harrison talking about Deion or Matt, or maybe some others are following Deion Sanders, but many people have said this: do your job. He tells his team this all the time. Hey, you got to do your job. They've built the team. They've put the people in the positions that they think are right. Guess what? In a Super Bowl, if one person misses one play, one bad read, it can be the whole game, right? And I'm not saying that's it with HIP, but it certainly can be with a relationship with one partner. And we're in the business of keeping partners. And so we have to show up. We have to take inventory. And sometimes when mistakes happen, we have to go above and beyond. We may have to call the partner. We may have to assure them, hey, this is never going to happen again. Because that trust is so easy to break, especially when you think about like a marketing company. Like, marketing is a commodity. I can bounce around and go to other marketers. Now, we know that we are not just marketing, and we believe that we are the best. And I truly believe that we are. But to go back to do your job, we have structured this team and put each and every one of you in a position that we think that you can thrive in, but you got to do your job. You got to show up, because if you don't, things happen, and then somebody else has to step in and do your job. And so, you know, we are trusting you to live out. You are HIP. It's not me and Justin anymore. You know, it was me and Justin 9 years ago. Today, it's you guys. We're believing that each and every one of you is going to help us win the championship and double in size and grow, because we want to be, I don't know about you guys, but I want to be at a company that is growing, that is making a difference. You know, we talk a lot about this in business and with orthodontist, status quo versus easy grower. So this is a little bit different. This is more of like, hey, are some of us kind of stuck, or maybe is there a little bit of status quo in us, or do we want to grow? Even though growth is not easy, do we kind of want to be an easy grower?
Yeah. So Luke and I were kind of mapping this out over the last week, and, you know, not that you guys are super, you know, involved in the direct sales process, but Luke actually drafted up a completely new pitch for us, which, you know, I always kind of, oh gosh, I got to learn a whole new thing, but here, you know, here we are. But there's this section in this new sales pitch where we're literally like, hey, doc, before we get into this section, I need to ask you if I can be direct and candid with you, because this part could rub some people the wrong way. Because we're not talking about marketing in this section. We're literally challenging their identity, their character, and their personality. And we say, well, there's two kinds of orthodontists. There's the status quo orthodontist. Anybody here that's talked to partners, you could probably think of a status quo orthodontist. They're in the way, they know everything, they can't grow. And then you can probably think of the easy grower, the Ben Fishbein, right? Carter Thomas, Dr. Thomas, right? But I think this is very applicable to us and building a team. Take an internal reflection of yourself, whether you're in paid media, design, talking in robot language and developer land, on the sales team, in your duties and how you show up every day. Are you a status quo media buyer? Or are you an easy grower with the desire to be better, not just at buying media, but be better in life? Are you a status quo designer, or are you an easy grower? Are you a status quo salesperson, or are you a true advisor? As Luke had mentioned before, let's look at like Michael Jordan and the Bulls back in the day. Right? The whole team was incredible, but was every single person on that team Michael Jordan? No shot. You had Scottie Pippen. You had, maybe some of you don't know, Steve Kerr, who ended up coaching the Warriors.
Dennis Rodman.
But who's still put on the pedestal? Michael Jordan's put on the pedestal. But does that mean that Scottie Pippen and Steve Kerr were status quo? I don't believe so. Because if you're on a championship team, your true colors will come through at some point. You guys have heard the old saying, you're only as strong as the weakest link. Well, that's very accurate. If you weren't up to Michael Jordan's standards, one of three things was going to happen. He's going to fight coach and say, don't put that guy on the court. He's bringing us down. If coach didn't agree with that, Michael's just purely not going to give you the ball. And if you're getting paid that kind of money to be on a championship team and you're not pulling your weight, how long can that last until you're on the trading block? It can't. Take a reflection. Where do you show up every day? We status quo, we easy grower, because I can tell you with where we want to take this company, it's not going to work if we're status quo. It might work for now, but it's not going to last forever. It comes down to one thing. We've talked about all of these things, from investing in yourself and maybe spending some time outside of work and reading, or having self-reflection, or dancing with criticism differently, all of these different things. But none of these things are going to take effect. None of these things you will follow through with if you don't have this one thing. And it's desire. Guys, I can teach how to navigate a tough conversation. People here can teach how to buy media better. People can teach how to use ClickUp better, whatever the case may be. But none of these things are relevant if you don't have the desire to get better. I tell this to doctors on sales calls, guys. I can teach you this and that and this and that. But what I can't teach you is desire. Do you really want to grow? Or does it just sound good because you can't come to fruition? You can't actually get the words out of your mouth and say, no, I want to say stuck. But when it's time to put the ink to paper, when it's time to put the rubber on the road, this is where desire shows up or it's lacking. And I can't teach that. Luke can't teach that. Nobody here can teach that. And if we don't have the burning desire, the status quo is only going to last so long.
How do you make an impact on someone else if you can't impact and grow yourself? Be the change that you want to see. Harrison always says, how can you help someone to higher ground and pull them up if you yourself are not on higher ground? And so I think that goes by, you know, leading by example. It's hard to ask other people to do what and really show up. Like, how could Michael Jordan ask people, hey, you need to show up and bring your A game if he wasn't? You know, and he was challenging people, but it's like, hey, he's the GOAT for a reason, you know, and that creates a ripple effect. Look how that brought people like Dennis Rodman, Steve Kerr, you know, these other players up to that A level, that champion level. When they went to other teams, even Michael Jordan, they could not replicate what the Bulls had, right? And so by themselves, they were okay. They were good. But they weren't championship level. And so I think we got to work on ourselves, but then we attract that as well. And it's kind of like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And you know, Harrison talked about this could be applicable for personal life. Who are you hanging around? Who are you listening to? What are your inputs? All those things are very important. I can tell you, when I decided to change my life and move away and go to school, I had to say goodbye to all of my friends. You know, because it was not a good group of people. That's a conversation for another day. Do you just want to get by or do you want to make an impact? And I think if you're here at HIP, you know that we want to make a huge impact. We want to help people. This is another quote we talk about within our core values, passion. Passion is energy. And feel the power that comes from focusing on what excites you. It's impact versus paycheck. We've got to have that passion. We've got to have that hunger. And we, you know, we tell partners this all the time. Hey, we may not be a fit. You know, we're not for everybody. Everybody isn't for HIP. It's the same thing with a team. You know, when you're looking at a championship team, maybe the Niners, Harrison will finally do it this year. The great team. I guarantee you, getting ready for the season, they made some easy decisions with saying you're not the right fit. This is obvious. But then there were some hard decisions, right? We're just not a fit. There was a guy for us who was a designer. He worked with us for 3 years. Great guy, great designer, but his work for HIP started to be status quo. And so me and Justin went to him, sat him down. And he said, you know what? My real passion and to make an impact, I know I have to go out and start my own branding company. And I think it's about a 3 to 5 year play. And me and Justin said, hey, you've got 6 months. It's not going to be 3 years because HIP is suffering because your passion lies somewhere else. And that's okay, but we want to help you. How can we help you take 3 years and collapse time down to 6 months? And he did it. He's thriving. I'm still friends with him to this day, talk to him, and his passion and his excitement and his impact is so much greater where he is now than being on HIP. And so maybe HIP for you guys is a stepping stone. Maybe it's the long game. Maybe it's 5 to 10 years, you know, like we celebrated Zach Gardner earlier. But it's got to be a fit. And if it's not, it's okay. We have helped numerous people. Even the guy who runs ads for us now, Robert, he used to work here. Guess what? Working here was not a fit. That didn't kill our relationship. We're still friends. He still works for HIP in a different capacity. It's okay. We're not for everybody. I will go back to, you know, you guys are in a position that has been thought about strategically and intentionally. And so we believe in you and we believe that we are a fit, but things change. Growth may happen. You know, you may wake up one day and a light bulb may go off and you have a different passion. And that's okay. So I just want to challenge everybody to unlock your full potential. And really, as a team, we've got to unlock our full potential. And it goes back to unity, unifying as a team, communicating as a team.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to learn more about HIP or any of the topics in this episode, send an email to hello@hipcreativeinc.com. That's hello@hipcreativeinc.com, or jump over to our website at hip.agency.